In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With this short talk, I'm initiating another series of talks on the website. It's going to be called, you know, Preaching in a Time of Adversity or of a Time of Opposition. How do we preach to our people? And what do we tell them? How do we encourage them? How do we keep their minds clear? When, as the media drifts, and the culture drifts, and the government drifts, how are they going to be clear about the Lord? And how are they going to care for others in times of confusion if they're not clear? And so these are going to be short 10-15 minute reflections on preaching. The two keys, as I see it, in pretending to presenting this, are first love. We have to love the people we're talking to. We have to love the people about whom we're speaking, even when they're wrong. And that's very important. This is not a long, angry polemic against all the bad guys. It's deeper than that. It's trying to present the truth in a way that's respectful and convincing. And how do we do that as preachers? How do we guide our people when so much of the culture, first place, is taken for granted that there's no objective truth, take it for granted that Christianity is out of date, take it for granted that particularly in regard to sexual morality, the Catholic Church is just out of date, out of touch. How do we help people think more clearly, which is the first step? But it has to go along with love and respect. We are not out, and I am not out in these talks, to obliterate the opposition, but first and foremost to give us an understanding of how we got where we are, and therefore how in this environment can we preach in a way that people can grasp what's going on and have their own faith strengthened. And this is very important. I experience this almost every Sunday, you know, talking about the Lord, His love, Our Lady, the saints, the mysteries of the faith, but at the same time trying to explain the environment in which we live. And so these talks are going to be, let's take a look at this time of adversity, a time of lack of understanding of who we are and what we stand for. Now, there have been some very good studies done recently about how to evangelize Christians. And one of the, a couple of beautiful books. And the point is that the culture has taken over the mindset. And we have to win people back to an understanding of the truth of the gospel and the beauty of Jesus. You see, the question is making truth lovable, attractive, and shining on the face of Christ. How do we do that and at the same time explain how we got into the confusion that we're in right now? And how can we mediate that to our people so that they can mediate it to their children? It has to be clear. It has to be coherent. has to be rational, so that people can understand what happened. I'm going to trace this in these earlier talks back, it goes back at least to the 14th century, when nominalism came in, followed by all sorts of other things, which placed man at the center of knowable reality. Man is the determining factor of reality. That's what happened in that period. It was followed then by Descartes, who continued this, and so that pretty soon, man is looked upon as a knowing being, but not as an acting being. And one of the things that the late John Paul II wanted to do in his teaching, in his book, one of his famous books, is called The Acting Person. The person acts, not just thinks. And that's very important. Otherwise, we consider that what we have interpreted as reality is enough. And of course, that doesn't help when we priests are trying to preach. How do we understand the mindset of the people to whom we're preaching? We grew up in our intellectual life, for the most part, in a seminary, and then some of us did graduate work and so forth, and were exposed to a great, robust intellectual tradition. But most of our lay people had to acquire skills, engineers, lawyers, salespeople, in an environment where none of this was paid much attention to. And so they have the preaching. But if the preaching isn't clear, and if there's some very intelligent people in our parishes, but their minds have to be built up so that they understand what's going on, and their wills have to be engaged. They have to want to return to the Lord and really know Him personally and talk about Him to their families and to others as well. And so this series is supposed to be addressed to priests and others, deacons, anybody who wants them, actually. What are we dealing with? You see, well, how did we get into such a situation? And I'm going to recommend two books. I've recommended them before. One is a book by Louis Dupré. It's called Passage to Modernity. How did we get from antiquity to modernity? It's mostly a journey of the mind, a way of knowing. And I'll try to explain that in a moment. The other book, which is more helpful but bigger, is by Cardinal Henri de Lubac, and it's called The Drama of Atheist Humanism. It's a big, heavy book, but I can promise you it is well worth reading. It clarifies for you how did we get from where we used to be to where we are, and what's wrong with where we are, and how can we help that? So, we're going to begin today with just some general notions. For instance, what do we mean by biblical revelation? See, that's a work of divine light, light shed on reality. This is a quote from Joseph Ratzinger. In today's theological lingo, it is common to term the Bible revelation without qualification. This usage would never have occurred to the ancients. The Bible is revelation. No, the Bible understood is revelation. Revelation is a dynamic event between God and man, which again and again becomes reality only in their encounter. I'm going to come back to that. The biblical word attests to revelation, but it does not contain it in the sense of absorbing it and turning it into a sort of a thing that one could stick in one's pocket. The Bible attests to revelation, but the concept of revelation is much broader. In other words, the Bible is the instrument by which divine reality is mediated to us in an intelligible way. See, the Bible is not a book. It's the Word of God. And it has these particular qualities that have to be known by experience. Now, we do also, of course, have to have a good historical sense. It's like if we were to go to a nation in the center of Africa, and you were along with me. I knew the language, I knew the customs, so I could act as an interpreter for you. It isn't enough I just know the language, I have to know the whole world. And so I could interpret for you what's really being said, because I've learned that culture. Well, theologians have to do the same with the Bible. They have to learn the culture. They have to learn how the Bible is speaking and mediate that to others. And that's the challenge. Now, the others are primarily the preachers. Not every preacher has the time or the inclination to be a biblical scholar. But there must be places where he can go and learn how to bridge the cultural gap so that there's a real conversation between the people in the pew and the Word of God that's being read out. And our people are affected mightily, of course, by the culture and what's going on. And you saw, this series is meant to show how in this world, which is not only different, but often opposed to Christianity, to revelation, we don't have to look far to see some of the HHS mandate, so many other things that are self-evident to some people, and yet wrong. And how do we help our people? Again, remember, we're not out to engage in a violent or angry polemic, but we are out in love to be firm and clear and able to preach and discuss with others. This is the challenge. And we have to do it. The presuppositions are astonishing. There are some books out right now. I'll refer to some of them next time. That talk about revelation. Talk about evangelization. The stats are amazing, what's going on. And some of these books are very helpful, and I'm going to recommend them next time. And I would recommend to the priest to buy them and to see what's going on. Our people can still recite the right words, but they don't know what they mean. And so, you see, we're in a time of adversity. But a lot of it we can eliminate by clarity and love. And that is going to be the point that we're going to be working on as we go through this material. I'm going to read a little bit of a text I have and then comment on it. To understand the sacred scriptures means, first of all, to understand the realities mediated by the scripture. The words are words, but until the words are bearing reality to us, we're not able to pass them on to others, okay? Second, to understand means to penetrate and experience these realities and to be touched by them. I don't understand what I just understand. I understand when I have the experience of knowing that I know. And that's what understanding is, huh? This form of knowledge is a dimension of that intellectus, which is a Latin word used in the Middle Ages, understanding. That intellectus, that understanding, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and which is called intellectus rather than ratio, and here's a quote from Aquinas, since its relation to the things made known to us supernaturally is like that of the natural light of understanding to the things we instinctively recognize. It's another set of intuitions given to us by divine light. Now, our job as preachers is to offset the indifference and the preoccupation with the here and now that characterizes so much of our own culture. But it goes deeper. It's also meant to be an encouragement, a seeking. And for that, we ourselves have to go through a process of growth. As Aquinas says, you know, a teacher teaches by symbolically through words and gestures, mediating to the pupil, you see, that process by which he arrived at the truth. Well, if the teacher hasn't arrived at the truth, there can't be any teaching. It can only be quoting. The teacher has to know and then induce in the others that process by which he came to the truth. And that's what preaching is. Now, the key, as I've said, there are certain keys, and we'll stop for today with this. First, this is a work of love. This is not a work of polemic. This is not a work of beating up the bad guys. It's a work of love for our people in front of us and for all their friends, all their relatives. It's a work of love. It's also a work of clarity. And that's why our obligation is to be clear. It's not a polemic in the sense that we have to condemn, we have to persuade, we have to show that that opinion is wrong. Abortion is murder, and there's no other way to describe it. Does everybody know that? No. So how do we get someone from where they are to a grasp of the true meaning of what it means for a woman to carry a child? With the awesomeness, the mystery, the privilege, the future. She carries within her body a human life that is eternal. Now, how does she grasp that when so much of the culture, and that's what I mean by adversity, you see, is mediating something else to her? Okay, that's going to be the plan in these talks, to look at where we are, to figure out how to preach to it in a way that is considerate, loving, firm, and true, to help our own people be clear for their sake and the sake of their children.